In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
And welcome to the Two Mats regular question and answer session. Should we kick straight off?
Let's just get straight in.
Okay, first question from Andy in Blackheath in South London. Do you think governments should try to define extremism that is not actually unlawful?
Well, thank you, Andy. I think that's a question inspired by Michael Gove last Thursday announcing the new definition of extremism, and then in the House of Commons naming five organisations, actually, Too Far Right, the British National Socialist Movement, Patriotic Alternative, and on the Islamist side of the house, Muslim Association of Britain, CAGE and MEND. Now, what's going on here? These are groups that will potentially, they haven't yet, potentially be deemed extremist, and they will not be able to meet ministers or civil servants or get public money and so on. I don't know what you think about this, but I'm, as I've said, I think a few times, boringly, you know, I'm a kind of rule of law guy. So I like the idea that things are legal or illegal, lawful or unlawful. I'm very concerned about things that fall into this grey area of lawful but forbidden or lawful but excluded.
Mm.
You know, if the government prescribes a group like Hizbut Tahrir, that's one thing, because then Hizbut Tahrir can go to judicial review and say, hang on a minute, that's not fair.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But we saw this in the online harms bill as well, the idea of speech which was lawful but harmful. And what does that really mean? It really means that you give the power to, and Gove was saying on the radio on Thursday morning on the Today programme, that this would be judged by a group of civil servants and academics in a new centre for excellence. Now, all that sounds very benign, but I'm not sure I like the idea of a group of people like that deciding which organisations are going to be having a potentially official role in public life and which not.
Yeah.
Now, you know, none of those groups that he mentioned on Thursday are lovely or lovable, but that's not really the point, because what he's doing here is setting up a mechanism that could lead anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, take the trans argument.
Yes.
You know, hugely delicate, hugely sensitive, very strong feelings on both sides. A government that was extreme on either way could say, well, you can't, this organisation can't have public funding, or it can't speak to ministers. And I think that's very, again, one has to be a bit careful with slippery slope arguments, but they do have their uses.
Yeah. The thing that worries me is that by putting these groups and naming these groups as he has done, none of which I'd heard of, right?
Exactly,
But now I've heard of them now. And by the way, if you are an extremist and in that group, what better publicity would you care for?
Badge of honour.
To have Michael Gove saying he doesn't like you very much and you're not going to get any government money. You know, so it becomes a bit of a recruiting sergeant.
I mean, Patriotic Alternative was the, I had heard of, because they were the group that was leafleting. Do you remember that asylum seeker hostel that was sort of very nastily
mobbed,
well,
right.
That it was Patriotic Alternative that was leafleting and riling up the, you know, but I'd like to see them you see, that seems to me to be incitement to violence, and
yes, There's laws for that already.
I'd like to see the Rozzers go and lock them up.
I'd much rather the judiciary. I'd much rather a judge decided whether someone was inciting violence or inciting riots or whatever like this, or criminal behaviour, than a government minister saying we really don't like
well,
these people.
Well, or worse, because a minister at least can come to the dispatch box, but officials and academics, said Gove. What does that mean?
Yeah, he's suddenly back in love with experts, isn't he?
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
No, suddenly experts ain't so bad.
You know, on the first edition of the New European, when we launched, it was it had at the top, we had a load of fantastic columnists who all agreed very bravely to be part of the new newspaper, and it just said introducing our experts as a kind of little very, very du jour nod to Michael Gove and his silly comment about people are fed up of experts. He's back in love with them now.
Well, he loves them now, as long as they say what he likes.
Yes, indeed. All right, Andy,
I hope that
gave some answer to your question. Next question, please.
The BBC of this week highlighted the treatment of doctors and medics at the Nasser Hospital in Gaza. Reports state that medical staff were stripped, beaten and borderline tortured while the hospital was under occupation. It shouldn't need to be said that violently beating doctors is a level of horrific cruelty that no context can abate. Quite right. Could you please speak on the ongoing treatment of the Palestinian civilians by Israeli forces and explain why so little is still being done domestically and internationally to intervene? Cobby in Manchester.
Well, thank you, Cobby, for a very good and very difficult question.
Good question.
And maybe it's not so difficult, because actually I think the treatment of Palestinian civilians has been an absolute outrage and has been shaming Netanyahu's government. And the only thing I would say is that, yes, there's still far too little being done internationally, but I do see signs of increasing weariness in the dialogue and an actual action such as this seafront opening up of aid from
the pier,
pier from the UK and the US and the EU. But I don't think any human being, you've got to separate out, you know, what's happening and why with what's happening to civilians on the ground and the complete demolition of great swathes of Gaza.
Yeah,
just seems completely counterproductive to everybody involved.
And here's the thing is that, I mean, I've been in my writings and things I've said and tweeted, you know, I've been more supportive of Israel's actions than a lot of other journalists. But that does not mean a carte blanche.
Mm.
You know, what happened at Nasser is self-evidently totally unacceptable.
Yeah.
And what Cobby points out happened there was deplorable.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad, you know, Andrew Mitchell, Foreign Office Minister, has called for an explanation. Cameron, his Foreign Secretary, has said it's very disturbing, asked for answers from the Israelis. I hope they do. And I hope they, you know, they ask for them forcefully, because these are incidents that need to be, you know, they cannot be forgotten. And the reason I say that is because I have a sad feeling this conflict is going to go on for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I would like to see it at the end of it. Accountability. And, you know, the IDF has an okay record on court-martialing soldiers that do this kind of thing.
Right.
We're looking a long way down the line now, but it's essential.
Yeah.
When and if this does kind of, when there is a ceasefire, when there is some sort of what next discussion, that this sort of thing is not forgotten.
Yeah. What is awful, and we've seen it, you know, it's not just the IDF, we've seen it with the British Army in Iraq, we've seen it with the American Army in Iraq, we've seen it with the British Army in Ireland, we've seen it with the IRA.
Bloody Sunday, of course.
You know, we've seen what the dehumanisation of civilians in conflicts like this. It's just so bloody tragic. We did a front page on the New European a couple of weeks ago with the big headline, just Gaza, and it was two sisters stood in.
It was a very powerful
absolute
image.
Rubble. But let me tell you, I spent a couple of hours looking through photographs to pick one that would be powerful but
usable. Yeah.
And, mate, there were hundreds that were just unusable because they were so awful. You couldn't, and as much as I wanted to convey the horror of what's happening there, you couldn't. It wouldn't be fair to people. But there is some horrible, horrible stuff happening in Gaza, and you can understand why people are taking hardline views against Israel because of what they're seeing.
And I think
on
it's,
social media,
it's yeah. very important that the aftermath has to be very, very carefully done. And part of it is, I don't know whether the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission is a model for this, because this is actually a conflict rather than a structural. I mean, there are structural issues in the Middle East too, but this is
a war.
This is a war, right?
Yeah.
But I really think it's important that when the guns stop firing and the bombs stop dropping, that there isn't what often happens after wars, which is, as you said, implied, a sort of tipexing of everything. You know, it is really important that people are held to account. You know, if Israel's going to maintain its position, and that position has been, you know, wherever you stand in this whole argument, it's just an empirical fact that position has been seriously, you know, undermined by people's views of what's going on.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of work to be done to restore Israel's international image. And part of that will be incidents like this.
Yeah.
And I hope, and I can't be sure, but I hope that they are. But, you know, it's one of these what if questions which are going to be a long way down the line.
It'll be at least 10 years, I think, before
I fear so. And I
can look at it objectively.
It is, because I think that part of the problem is that, you know, clearly Netanyahu is a disastrous prime minister. And the minute there's a ceasefire of any duration, he'll go.
Yeah.
But I think it's underappreciated here that, let's say, Benny Gantz, who's a, you know, very different ideologically and certainly wouldn't have done all those appalling judicial reforms that Netanyahu did, is a pretty tough military kind of guy. I mean, he may be centre ground ideologically, but he's not going to. He's more intelligent than Netanyahu, I think. Mm. But he's not going to kind of
roll over.
But no. Yeah, so I mean, the difficulty you have here is that the Israeli soul has been badly scarred by this, and you're dealing with a nation that feels embattled and hated by the whole world.
Mm.
And to which the answer is, well, this is why.
Stop doing things that make people look at you with hate. You know.
But the reason I mention that is because just replacing Netanyahu has become a sort of... some people see him as a kind of panacea, and I think it isn't. The number of steps you need to get to a sort of measure of decency and things...
Yeah.
calming down is unfortunately quite a way away. But I agree with Cobby. I think, you know, I hope that these are all being, you know, listed, recorded, and that they will be, everyone will be held to account appropriately.
Yeah. But Cobby's question, I mean, we can go on about this all day and we haven't got the time to, unfortunately, but Cobby's question is, why is no one intervening? And that is at the nub of it. We're sending aid and we're doing what we can, but no one's... Are we intervening?
The question, in fact, it boils down to America.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, Biden and Antony Blinken, his Secretary of State, if they were here, would say, we do little else. We spend, you know, and Blinken has literally been doing Kissinger-style shuttle diplomacy and has had one-on-ones with the members of the Israeli cabinet saying, you've got to have a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And then they go to Qatar and it doesn't work out and we get back. So they are putting on pressure. But it was interesting. Biden did an interview in which he was asked about red lines. And he said, well, you know, I'd be very angry if they went into Rafah. But, of course, I wouldn't hold off any aid. And I think that's the interesting question is, at what point would an American administration start to impose... or restrict aid on the basis of behaviour.
Here's a wacko question for you, because you'll know much better than me. Would Trump intervene more directly if elected as president?
You'll be amazed to know that Trump... I mean, at least we can say of Biden, people can say it's more too pro-Israel, right? But he really is... He's read into the area. He went to Tel Aviv immediately after October the 7th. You know, he is trying... People may not think it's the right thing. Trump doesn't know where Gaza is. The only thing he has said of any substance is that Israel should finish the job.
Right, okay. All right.
Okay.
So it's that simplistic.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, Cobby, thank you for your question. Terrific question. Next question, please.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Listening to Matt D's assessment of the situation in the US, I'm increasingly concerned that Trump will win, and therefore horrified that podcasts like the Two Matts and others will inevitably have to be dominated for 4 years of weekly discussion about Trump's presidency. Imagine how we feel.
I was going to say, imagine, you know.
How would you ensure keeping an avid listener like me, thank you, under the stress of a Trump presidency when I'd be tempted to avoid the mental distress and go into blissful ignorance? And that's from Andy.
Okay, well, first of all, Andy, welcome to our world, right? Secondly, put down whatever substances you're thinking of using to go into blissful ignorance, because all is not lost. All is not lost. I got to tell it as we see it, right?
Yeah.
And the fact is that right now, if it was today, the vote, Trump would probably win, right? But there's 8 months to go.
Yeah.
And Biden stormed the State of the Union last week. He was brilliant.
He was, yeah.
So if he can just keep up standing upright,
yeah,
and do that often enough,
yeah,
then we could have a card game, right? Yeah. So that's the good news. To take your premise, Andy, that there is a Trump presidency, I think in all conscience I can't make many promises, because his record on behaving in a sensible and sage way is pretty small. I mean, I hope desperately that between now and November the 5th, the American people will step back from the abyss.
Yeah.
It is actually quite early in the electoral cycle.
Yeah. But can I also make the point that there will be plenty to be talking about in UK politics.
Oh,
and,
God,
and
yeah.
We will fill the shows with Keir Starmer, hopefully.
Yeah,
and
I mean, exactly. I mean, look, it has been the case that we've just gone through the primary season, which is now over.
Yeah.
Right. There will now be, you know, a hiatus until at the earliest, I imagine, the conventions, unless something extraordinary.
When are the conventions? In the summer?
July and August, I think. So, of course. We're not just going to talk about the decline into fascism of America.
No. But don't underestimate blissful ignorance either, Andy. I would always recommend taking a bit of time out now and again from the news.
Yes, I mean, you know, don't think that the Orange Man is the most important or the only person in the world just because he's going to, you know, renege on climate change and NATO, the links to the EU and everything else.
Exactly.
Okay. It's fine.
Everything's going to be, as Jurgen Klopp says, every little thing's going to be okay. Don't worry.
Every little thing's going to be right.
Right, Andy, another Andrew.
All right, were Hatton and Co. good for the Liverpool?
Yeah.
As I like the definite article.
The Liverpool, yeah.
Where Matt grew up, Andrew Robinson, France. Well, I defer to you, Matt.
So this is Derek Hatton and Militant and Co.
Degsy,
who ran Liverpool Council in the early 80s. No, they weren't, I don't think. I think you can make a case for they identified a seam of resilience that Liverpool very much needed at that time, because it had been effectively, literally abandoned by Thatcher's government. And there wasn't that much sign of traditional Labour, if you want, really piling in and looking to drag Liverpool up, which it very much needed at the time. And they went on massive house building sprees. I was in Liverpool at the weekend, funnily enough, at the Liverpool Man City game, which was one of the best football games I've
ever. One of your soccer games.
Oh my God. But honestly, mate,
it was
spectacular football. I've never seen football like it. It was just, I agreed with Jamie Carragher on Sky Sports when he said he didn't think we'd seen football like this at this level. It was absolutely brilliant. Anyway, I was walking around the city centre and walking right in the city centre where there are lots and lots of relatively new houses right in the middle of the city centre, little kind of semi-detached houses where families are having very great existences in Liverpool. And many of those houses were built as part of a planning that Hatton and Militant pushed through, but in doing so brought the city to its knees financially, you know, and bankrupted Liverpool. And so I don't think you can say they were good for Liverpool, but I do understand why they came to prominence at the time, while there was a lot of empathy for what they were trying to do within a city that was on, as we say in the Northwest, on the bones of its arse, and no one cared.
Do you think that he was, for all the problems and the ideological craziness and all the rest of it, there was a sense in which he was a sort of forerunner of the mayoralties?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What Andy Burnham is now doing legitimately, Hatton was doing in a kind of haphazard and...
But they took it by the scruff of the neck, and they said, well, no one else is going to do it, we'll do it. And of course, that was intolerable to Margaret Thatcher, and it was actually Jim McKinnock, and it was intolerable to Neil Kinnock as well.
The Labour Council,
scuttling around the city,
and I'll tell you,
out redundancy
I'll
notices.
Tell you, and you listen
in taxis.
Was it Eric Heffer that marched off the stage when he?
Yes,
said
it
that?
Was. It was. Yeah,
and Hatton at the back shouting, "Liar!"
That's right. That's right. I mean, I've met Derek Hatton a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah. And I've actually worked with his son, Ben, really? Who was a video, a digital website producer. I think
Hatton must be in his mid-70s now, I suppose.
I think he owns, I think he, I might be completely wrong here, but I think he lives in Turkey and he's, in Cyprus, Turkish Cyprus.
Right.
And has got his properties and he's got his permatan. But what's interesting about Derek and his lad, they're both very physically imposing guys.
Is that right?
And I remember a very good friend of mine making a joke to Ben about his dad.
Yeah.
And Ben turning to my mate, who was no slouch, you know, was a busy, tough lad, and saying, "You what?" And my mate kind of recoiling, you know, because there was a clear physical prowess. And I think Hatton, in his dealings around Liverpool, carried himself very charismatically and was seen as a hero to a lot of people who had nothing, you know. And I, when I used to go to school from on the train, you'd go past the docks and the houses around the docks in Bootle and that, and they were slums, proper Victorian slums, you know. Now, Liverpool was full of houses like that. In many parts, it still is, you know. And there's been a programme to eradicate those slum dwellings. Wouldn't be tolerated in London, but they, you know, there's pockets in Liverpool that are poor beyond belief, you know, and need investment and development. And that's what Hatton was trying to do. I think, funnily enough, the European Union did a better job.
They did a better job. No, I remember they got a lot of money from the EU.
Yeah, of reinventing Liverpool.
And we're both Alan Bleasdale maniacs,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are, yeah.
Tell me this, was GBH with Robert Lindsay as Michael Murray, was that fair? Was it okay?
Well, it was a caricature.
But was it a monstrous caricature?
No, I don't think so. And I suspect Derek Hatton would have been quite pleased.
Dead chuffed
by it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know. No. But anybody who's in any doubt, Boys from the Black Stuff was fair. You know, that was, you know, the kind of hopelessness and desolation of a city. That was fair. It didn't feel like that when you're 10 years old growing up in a place and knocking around as a teenager. It was great fun. But, you know, it was a place in a hole and it needed digging out. And so to Andrew Robinson's question, thank you, in France. I don't know whether you're an ex-Scouser, Andrew, but... anyone of my age, I think you'd have a lot of sympathy with anyone who tried to do anything to dig Liverpool out of a hole in those days.
That's rather what I wondered.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Andrew.
This is a very good question.
Great question.
Right. I see the New European has recommended Ethan Coen's new movie, Driveway Dolls. We did. It's good.
Yeah.
Do the two Matts each have a favourite Coen brothers film? Mine is True Grit from Ellen in Bristol. Thank you, Ellen.
Great question.
Matt, you like the Coens, don't you?
Fargo.
Yeah, I mean...
I think you've got to...
It's a great movie, isn't it?
Does it get any darker than Fargo?
Well, I was sitting... When I saw the question, I thought, what have I got? I've got... I think I'd narrow it down to three. I'd go Fargo, No Country for Old Men.
Brilliant, yeah.
And The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
And I'd probably, since you've chosen Fargo, I'll go for The Big Lebowski just because it is the most quotably funny of their film and has sort of entered cult.
Yeah.
But actually, I think Fargo is their best.
Fargo is an astonishing film that...
In every way.
You know, if Shakespeare was alive today...
That's right.
That's what he would have made Fargo,
that's right.
You know, it's got... It's local, but it's absolutely epic.
It captures the strangeness of huge swathes of America.
But wonderful performances as well.
Oh, William H. Macy.
And absolute gore and gristle that, because of the way they've done it, is just perfectly part of the fabric of the film. It's great. Of course that person's going in the tree chopper.
And bizarrely, has spawned a really pretty good spin-off TV series.
That's right.
Who'd have thunk it?
But the greatest single scene, that now that you mention those three films, comes from No Country for Old Men, where with the... What's the actor's name? The psychopath?
Javier Bardem.
With the cattle...
The
bullet. The shotgun, whatever they call it. What do they call those things?
Well, it's an oxygen thing that it's kills
like
cattle,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yes, like a hammer that... Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the single biggest scene.
He's one of the great screen villains of all time.
Amazing. Amazing film.
And one of the things I love about that film is that people sort of wander in... And now, like Woody Harrelson is on screen for only about 10 minutes, but he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Josh Brolin, who was the latest person to be cast in the key figure of the guy who finds the money.
Yeah.
I think it's possibly his best performance.
Great. And I should say to people, if you're interested, you can sign up to Matt Dankona's Culture newsletter each week and get loads of amazing culture tips.
But you have to subscribe.
You have to subscribe to The New European. That's the downside. The upside is you get...
It's the upside.
Amazing wealth of journalism for just a quid a week.
And you get, if you subscribe, you get the newsletter on a Friday evening rather than... the following week. Which means you can plan your weekend.
Yeah, and not just look back in regret.
Don't look back in
Don't
anger.
Don't look back in anger, someone
I heard you say.
Right.
Get to the singing. We have to stop, really.
Have we got time for another question, Mr. Producer? No, that's it. That's it. We're being told. So hope you enjoyed those questions. Thank you, Ellen.
The singing. Whenever we get to the singing, it's you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here time, isn't it?
So I hope you're having a great Sunday so far.
Enjoy
tune into our regular podcast on Fridays.
And have a good Sunday.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe. If you like our podcast, you will love The New European.
You'll love it.
There's a link in the show notes. Tell them we sent you. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.